This is a story which has been getting quite a lot of coverage internationally. It's had some coverage here in South Africa, but for one reason or another, we haven't managed to get to it before today. It's the Pegasus Project, and this is an international journalistic initiative collaboration which looks at a piece of software, spyware called Pegasus, which is marketed by an Israeli company, the NSO Group. And the idea, in theory, is that it is there for the surveillance of serious crimes and terrorism. But there seems to be ample evidence that it was used for considerably less noble means than that. I mean, there are a lot of people whose phones have been identified through the leaks as having been surveilled with the software. And you go, really? Rwanda thinks that Cyril Ramaphosa's phone needs to be monitored because he might be guilty of serious crimes and terrorism? I don't think so. And that's, you know, one of, I mean, there are more bizarre names that have been surveilled than that. Shanila Mohammed, the executive director of Amnesty International South Africa, is on the line to us now. Shanila, good afternoon.
Afternoon, John.
It's probably, drop in the ocean is not accurate, but there are probably many other firms with many other clients and many other products that are being as misused as Pegasus has been by NPO's clients.
Absolutely, John. And for years, Amnesty International has been warning of the dangers of human rights posed by the surveillance industry generally, and the specific cases of unlawful targeted surveillance. Now, the NSO company group is just one company. As you rightly say, there are many out there. And in our view, it's a dangerous industry that has operated on the edges of legality. I mean, and this has got to be brought to an end. We need regulation. We need proper regulation on cyber surveillance, on the cyber surveillance industry, because, no matter what they say their software was originally for, the reality is that it's being abused.
So, I mean, if you look, there were 50,000 phone numbers which were leaked to Forbidden Stories. Our president is one of those names. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, is another. Imran Khan, the Pakistani prime minister, is a third. They're diplomats, they're military chiefs, they're senior politicians. They are journalists, human rights activists, opposition politicians, political dissidents. I mean, it's an incredibly wide range of people whose communications are at least allegedly being illegally monitored.
Absolutely. And I think, what we've seen as well, John, is that, the monitoring or this type of surveillance does have consequences. I mean, there's real harm caused by this unlawful surveillance. When it comes to activists and journalists, I mean, we have seen, for example, in Mexico, Cecilio Pinada's phone was targeted just weeks before he was killing. He's an activist. We saw Adnan Khashoggi. I mean, from the findings of the Pegasus Project, his phone, as well as his fiance, as well as his wife and his sons, were being surveyed by Pegasus before and after his killing. So, it's not just about them trying to find out what you're doing. And remember that this software is very sophisticated and it's secretly installed. And, it's actually one of those spywares that you don't have to do anything. It just automatically taps into your entire life. So there are consequences of this type of surveillance, a real consequences. And, for example, in India during the unrest, we saw 40 journalists from nearly every single media outlet being surveilled by the Modi government. So, it really does have dangerous consequences if stricter regulations are not put into place.
Okay, let's get to those stricter regulations, because as much as we would like to think that the world sings kumbaya together, it doesn't. And there are legitimate reasons to surveil the communications of at least some people. And I mean, again, the surveilled nation is going to go, the surveilling nation is the wrongdoer here, not us, because we have different views about what constitutes a country which is morally and ethically emulatable. So, I mean, how does one, in a world where Cuba and the USA share such different worldviews, and Venezuela and the UK share such, and so on, and, how do you set regulations which minimize the harm?
Well, that has been the problem, hasn't it, John? That, you know, I mean, because of a lack of a robust compliant regulatory framework, you know, people have been able to, or countries have been able to use this spyware and try to justify its use. But, you know, when you look at international legal standards, you know, it's states have a binding obligation under international human law to protect human rights from abuse by third parties, including private companies that operate outside their borders. And if you look again at international legal standards, a company may be complicit in human rights violations if it meets two main criteria. One, that through its business activities, it helped in the commission of the violation, and that the company knew or should have known that its acts would help in furthering the violation. Now, according to us in the Pegasus Project, you know, there's no way that NSO can say that it was not aware that, you know, its software could be used for malicious purposes. And, you know, and again, the evidence that we found, they can't hide behind the claim that it's only been used for fight crime, because we know it's not. And so, you know, something has to be done about this. But yes, the complications of the global political dynamics is definitely a reality. We're not denying that. But we have to start somewhere, John. And the somewhere has got to be, some sort of regulation that will stop, at least try to stop the abuse of this type of spyware.
Well, I'm cynical enough to believe that international law is practiced and observed only to the extent that countries and corporations believe that they will be caught out if they don't observe it. If they think they can get away with it, they do with impunity, whether it is an Israeli company or an American company or a Dominican Republican company.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, this is where, civil society, journalists, activists, people who are really at the coalface of being targeted by this type of spyware, need to really step up. And, you know, one of our reasons for releasing all of these findings, and this is research that Amnesty Tech has done with his partners, over a period of 2 to 3 years, is because, firstly, we need to make people aware that this is happening. I know that people are aware that there's spyware, but the consequences of such spyware on the phones of activists and journalists. And to be honest, we started off just looking at activists and journalists because we were worried, you know, because there's been so many cases. And the fact that we came across 14, the numbers of 14 heads of state was an added, you know, surprise to us. Well, not really a surprise, but, you know, it was something that was unprecedented. We weren't really looking for that. But, you know, again, political leaders also are not safe. So there has to be some regulation to...
And Shanila, I'm afraid we're late for news already, but thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. Shanila Mohammed is the Executive Director of Amnesty International South Africa.